Okay, hey, listen, this is our annual Thanksgiving. Apart from this stupid thing that's in front of me, this is our annual Thanksgiving shared service. Yay, give God a great hand. And we get to share this service with Freedom River. It's one of those privileged things that we do. Most of you know this, but our two churches have been functioning here. My goodness, I don't even remember how long anymore it's been. But God has just really blessed us in having partners like this. And Pastor John and Kathy and their team, it's just been like a glove. It just fits. And God's been so faithful. So I want you to welcome him as he comes. He's going to take the first part of the service. I'll fill in the hole after that, what's left, which will be very little. But we're really thankful for the privilege we have to share this time. So let's give him a big hand.
Thank you, Tom. Hey, happy being thankful season, everyone. Right? You can't cancel being thankful. So that's who we are. We're going to enter his gates with thanksgiving. Thank you for the worship team. That is amazing. And I just have one thought. It's based on James 5:16. Actually, it's going to be the second half of the verse. The whole verse is very, very good. But there's that much depth that I thought for today, Thanksgiving Eve, it would be good to just look at the second half of James 5:16, and you can see what I'm thankful for. I'm thankful for belief, and the belief that I see here as one church, the church of Jesus Christ. And I'm just taking a segment of faith. We all have faith. You wouldn't be here if it wasn't for faith. But there's an aspect of our faith that engages our intellect, and that's the part I want to talk about. That concept of belief. And we're in very unique times, I think that's safe to say, but I think we're in critical times where the church, all of us, bottom to top, side to side, however you want to rank, you should probably throw that out, because I have a feeling God finds us significant in different ways, and that's also what I want to talk about tonight. But belief is very powerful, and this is a time when a lot of unbelievable things are going on. And I have three quotes that I just want to kind of shock you with. Could you ever in a million years imagine going up to a bank teller wearing a mask and asking for money? That is unbelievable. But now, not anymore. You can say that statement, and we're like, yeah, that's actually becoming normal. Here's another thing that's unbelievable. I had to throw this in there because I'm one of these people. I bought a 2020 planner. It's like, wow. That was really no use this last year. And then here's the other kind of upside down new normal. It seems backwards. Old folks are sneaking out of the house and their kids are yelling at them to stay in the house.
That's pretty good.
Yes. That one hits close to home. All right. Here's what I want to talk about. The second half of James 5:16, and I've kind of highlighted English Standard Version, which is a very literal version. It says, the prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. And I don't think I've read it in that version before, because that kind of struck me. I think the versions I'm used to and possibly you're used to is, you know, the effective prayer of a righteous man accomplishes much, or New Living Translation, great power. The effective prayer has great power and produces wonderful results. And sometimes we can get lost in that language and discount ourselves and say, okay, I believe that. And this is where I'm asking you to engage your belief, because this is important. I believe that, but I don't know that I'm the righteous man. I don't know that I qualify. I don't know that my prayers really do that much. Well, this is where I want to engage your belief, because I think this is a call for all of us at this time. This is not a time to retreat, to be back on our heels, to, in a sense, bunker down or isolate, especially in this category of prayer. Amen. This is when we need to step forward, hold our heads high, and actually, can I say, probably double down and be aggressive in this category of prayer. My wife and I have kind of added some things in our schedule, which I thought was probably pretty good, you know, regarding prayer and fasting, but we've since upped it, just trying to say, you know what, we need to do more in this category. And we were talking today, and she says, you know, I wonder throughout even the history, a little over 200 years of our country, how many of the faithful have really, because of their prayers, have really stayed off and pushed back what the enemy wants to do to come against freedom, especially freedom of worship. And so, you know, Hebrews describes to us that we're the benefactors of a great cloud of witnesses that have gone before us. And I think even in a short history, like I said, our country is a little over 200 years. Yeah, I see it. I think there is a history that we are benefiting from. But, you know, I have children and now I have grandchildren, and I want them to inherit that heritage of faith as well. I want them to have freedoms and be able to worship freely. You know, I call this a truism, and I'm just going to center on this English Standard Version because I knew I wanted to talk about this passage, and, you know, the first thing I do is kind of open up a little Greek lexicon and an interlinear Bible and try to really understand the original language, and I didn't get very far other than this. The first thing that struck me in this translation, and it's pretty accurate here, and the book of James has a couple of these kind of things that are truisms or self-evidence, and I kind of put that on the margin in this slide. It's like James is saying the prayer of a righteous person is always working because the righteous person is always praying. It's kind of like saying we pray by prayer. As we pray, we get more power to pray. And as we get more power to pray, there's more power in our prayers. That's why I mean it's kind of like, well, yeah, you probably already understood that. But as I looked at the language, Greek has masculine, feminine, and this term here used for power is in the feminine. I'm like, okay, that's interesting. And then it hit me. Ladies, you all know what's going on tonight and tomorrow. You're working. You're cooking. You're preparing. My wife is doing pies. I mean, you know, everybody is doing a little bit, no matter what version of Thanksgiving you're going to have. But here's the thing, the concept that hit me. You know, while that is going on, all this is building. You know, for us, it's a Thanksgiving meal, but think about how this works in prayer. While I am praying, I'm preparing, I'm setting the table, I'm aligning myself, I'm engaging. And yes, there is something building and building and building until it's ready to be served. This is, I think, a truth that is locked in here, and something that I want to say, I am so grateful to Living Grace's leadership. And I'm going to finish by doing a commercial for the 24 Hours of Prayer. You know, it's a little over a month away. I know you are very aware of it. But can I say this year is going to be different. This year, I hope you are feeling like I'm feeling. The necessary energy to ramp it up. Whatever we did last year, let's do more this year, especially in the category of prayer. And my wife found this quote, and Andrew Murray is a South African pastor, and we've been talking about this for a couple of weeks over on the Fro side, and I thought it was pretty powerful. But he said, we must begin to believe that God, in the mystery of prayer, has entrusted us with a force that can move the heavenly world and can bring its power down to earth. This is where I want to engage your belief. Do you believe that? Well, you know, Andrew Murray's quote is very well said, but to me, it's a paraphrase of what Jesus taught us when the disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. And it's embedded in that disciple's prayer when the Lord said, well, pray this way. God, may your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Pray that down. You have access to that authority, yes, but you have access to that power in heaven. And pray that down to earth. Church, we have a vital, vital role. And again, I am so grateful because every year I know Living Grace turns this place upside down and does a ton of work to organize and prepare for 24 Hours of Prayer. I'm going to put their commercial up just so everybody can be aware of it. And I am so grateful for that. And I share the commitment, whether it's obvious or not. But again, I feel like this year, God, it's time for your church to bring heaven down, for us to create history here on earth. We believe that we have access to the heavenly realm, to heavenly power, to heavenly authority. And God, as your extensions here on earth, we want to pray, may your kingdom come now on earth. May your kingdom come now to our country. May your kingdom come now to our city as it is in heaven. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the prayers at Freedom River Outreach and Living Grace Ministries. And together, God, we are a force. And again, I don't know who may consider themselves least, but I know each one that lends shoulder to the plow and doesn't look back. I know each one that prays with even new faith. Maybe you were just saved this last year. You have the same Holy Spirit that I have. And so, God, I know everyone is significant when it comes to prayer. And as we agree together, Lord, we say, Jesus, we love you. We love your Lordship. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. We love you. And Heavenly Father, we ask for the reality of your kingdom, for that righteousness, for that justice, for that truth to come here on earth as it is in heaven. And Lord, I pray that you would bless that team that's preparing. I know it's a little over a month out, but it's very significant, that 24 hours of prayer. I believe it's significant not only for our ministries here, but the ministries in Tacoma, because they pray for each and every one. So God, I pray that you would bless that team. Literally, Holy Spirit, you would energize them and give them heavenly strategies and strength and wisdom and capacity. But God, again, we thank you that we can come to you and petition heaven to that come to earth. And we all agree and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay. Hey, listen. What is this? I hate this thing. Hang on. I know you're supposed to get used to these things, but it hasn't happened in my life yet. I do want to just take a moment and just... We have a very special event that we found out the dates for. Just today, I think, or maybe even early yesterday. The 18th and the 19th of this month, your church, this church right here, this facility, will be the home base for Toys for Tots and the giving away of all the toys for the city of Tacoma. There's three locations in Pierce County. One will be in Lakewood, one will be in Graham, and then the one for Tacoma will be here. That means probably maybe, I don't know, a few hundred, if not thousand people will come to receive toys. And we made it clear that we didn't allow for anything to happen in the church here in this facility if we couldn't share the gospel. So they were very clear. We told them that we have these tracks and we'll be manning this with the two churches and other volunteers that we're getting from other organizations. But our goal was to minister to people, pray with them, and share the gospel. So we have these candy cane tracts. We're going to give out probably thousands of candy canes. And so on the 18th, which is a Friday, and the Saturday, the 19th, from 9 to 5, we're looking at manning that period of time and ministering to these folks as they drive up to get their toys. We don't really know what's going to, you know, what God will do with that. But I'll tell you what, it's an amazing opportunity. Ed Troyer, the new sheriff for Pierce County, is a part of this. I'm sure the news media will be involved. It's a great opportunity for us to be able to share our faith and what we are and what we do here as the two churches, you know, co-labor here. So it's a great privilege, and I just hope that you'll plan, put that off on your calendar. If you can't be a part of it, come, you know, keep it in your prayers, please. That's going to be a big deal. All right, let me just read a couple of verses here for you. And this will be very brief, but I want you to think. The verses that we have tonight is Isaiah 28:16. It says, "Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a tested stone, a costly cornerstone. For the foundation firmly placed, he who believes will not be disturbed." And 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4 and 5. "And continuously coming to him," the Lord, "as to a living stone, which has been rejected by men, but indeed is chosen and precious in the sight of God, you also as living stones are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up sacrifices which are spiritual and acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." And therefore, in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17, "Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation or creature. The old things passed away, and behold, things have become new." I want to focus on that portion of that text. So I want you to think about a life. The point is, for me, I was thinking, okay, we're supposed to be thankful, but how do you get to that place where you're actually, you understand what thanksgiving or being thankful is all about? Because a lot of times, you know, we run into people, and certainly if we just reflect on our own lives at times, there's not a whole lot to be thankful for, if you understand what I'm saying. Some people historically just haven't had a lot in their life that's happened that's been good. I was talking to somebody today, and they were in the midst of a serious case of depression and addiction and just nothing to be thankful for. And you know, it was almost like you wish you could reach through the the phone and just grab them and pull them out here and show them what it's like to be loved by the body of Christ. But there's just people, and I think in our day and age, there's even more, at times more people, that being thankful or thanksgiving is based more upon circumstance or factors in their life than it really is anything else. And so looking at thanksgiving, or how we get to that place of being thankful, is what we're going to talk about tonight. And the first thing here is, I think it's really important. You know, all of us are just stones taken out of the rubbish. If you think about it, in Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 2, and then again in 10, they were going to rebuild the wall. But the problem was is that all the stones there was rubbish. They had to dig the stones out of the rubbish. Now, the beauty of our life is all of us have come from a place where we could honestly say, there's just really a tremendous amount of rubbish in my life. It's just been there. But God pulled me out of that. God actually did something unique. He pulled me out of that. And this is why in Isaiah 51, verse 1 and 2, it says this. It says that we should look to the rock on which we've been placed, which I could say that rock for us, obviously there in Isaiah 28:16, is Christ, right? He's our foundation. But we also should look to the pit from which we were dug, meaning that we all come from a pile of rubbish. There's always something in our life that we wish wasn't there, or things that we could look at and say, that wasn't the best, or it's that isn't something I'm real proud of. Some probably more than others. But I think if we're true, if we're honest, probably all of us have a whole lot of that. And then we realize that God took us out of all that, and He placed us on Christ. And on Christ, all those lies and all of those aspects of deceit that were a part of our life just get washed away, because we're built on Him. And all that other stuff is just washed away. And we'll never be put to shame, it says there in Isaiah 28, verse 16. We will never be put to shame if we trust in Him. So it's important for us to be very realistic with our life, because we can't be thankful if our thankfulness is based upon anything that we've produced. Because with all of that, there's both good and bad. There's a rock and then there's a pit. It's always there. So thankfulness is built on a new foundation. And it's an eternal foundation. And as we said, it's a foundation where all the lies and the covenants that we've made with the world around us are just kind of washed away. These things become less and less real to us and less important. We realize that what other people, you know, whether it be verbal curses or whatever you want to say, anything that you've accepted about your life, that really has no power over you because of what Christ has done for you, right? And all of a sudden, I realize that my life is based upon what He has done and what He says about me. And then we realize in 1 Peter chapter 2 there in verse 4 and 5, that actually He's the foundation stone and I'm a living stone. And as a result of being a living stone, I'm built up in Him. And that has certain benefits that come with it. And I just want to talk about those benefits for a minute. So that's a because. First and foremost, I can be thankful because God delivered me from a wretched, as Paul said in Romans 7:24, who shall deliver me from this wretched man that I am? And I thank God through Christ Jesus that God delivered me. And He took me out of that and He placed me in Christ. He put me in a firm place. And He established my life and your life as a believer in Him. We can be thankful because, and we can rejoice always, and we can pray without ceasing, as Pastor John was sharing, and be strengthened in that prayer. Because for the first time in our life, we realize that everything that happens in our life has a purpose. That it's not just random. even the bad things of our life, God can turn that curse into a blessing. God can use it. And we can, in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, we realize that this is the will of God in Christ Jesus with regard to me, that God is using these things in my life. The first time in my life that I didn't have to look back and try and fix the past, but I realized that all of that was part of God moving in my life to bring me to the place where I could be founded in Him. It's the first time in my life where I realized that I was part of a community. Think about that, called the body of Christ, called the church, called the community of the faith, where actually people that care for one another, and it's not just some kind of, how can I say it, personality rapport. It's not a personality cult. It's not just people that would have been together anyway because they would have hung out with people like themselves. It's not just a fan group, but it's actually people that love one another because of who Christ is in their life and what He's done. They're all built on that same foundation. It's all about Christ. And look around you, just take a moment, look around you. How many of these people would you have ever been around had it not been for Christ? Think about it. People that we've been with for decades, all because of Christ. People that we've known and loved and shared victories and defeats with, and enjoy and worshiped and celebrated together, and we've wept together, all because of Christ. You see, I can be thankful because God placed me in a community, a body, a living body of Christ, that God Himself knit my heart together with other people. And I know for a fact that those people, they love me with the love that God Himself has imparted to their life. That's an incredible benefit. And lastly, I think I could be thankful because there's no limit to the growth of this. In Ephesians 4:15, it says that the measure that will be the measure of our growth is the very measure of the fullness of Christ Himself. Think about that. That we're just continuing to be edified and growing and building each other up in love until we get to the measure of Christ. There's unlimited growth here. We're talking eternality. We're talking, you know, God incredibly everywhere, omnipresent. We're talking just the fullness of God. That's the very measure of this thing. That I can never look at my life and say, there's some limit to this, that it's only going to be this big, that I've gotten as far as I'm going to get. That it never ends. It just keeps growing, expanding. What a blessing. When Pastor John was sharing about looking at this next year and thinking that God has more for us, you know, it's so true. Does He ever just do status quo? Is it ever just a balance sheet for Him? Or is He always looking to do exceedingly and abundantly beyond anything that we could ever ask or think? See, that's the point with God. He doesn't slow down on these things. And there's no limit to what He wants to do. And so if you think about that, if I can understand what thankfulness is all about, then my life becomes a blessing. And that's the difference between a Christian and the rest of the world. The rest of the world can only be thankful if certain things are in place for them. If they have food on their table, if they have their needs met, if they feel like they're accepted or someone loves them, then they're thankful. They have much to be thankful for. If they've been successful in life, they're thankful. A Christian is thankful for the things that they had nothing to do with. It's something somebody else gave to them. They're thankful because by the grace of God, not by any merit on their own, they've received these abundant blessings and you know, become a partaker of God's own divine nature in 2 Peter 1:4. All because God wanted to do this for them. And they're just thankful. So then the rest of the life, their life, becomes a blessing. And I just want to go through a very short list of blessings. This is going to close this whole portion out. You guys don't get to see Sue very often here lately because, I just to be honest with you, we've kind of kept this quiet. My daughter is pregnant. She's a high-risk pregnancy. She's due in January. She had some kind of a condition for her Lincoln, and so we expect that the next one will also, it typically follows that pattern. So we're doing everything we can to make sure that she stays safe, and Sue wants to be there in the delivery room. There's only two people that can be there, and she's one of them, and so she's doing everything she can to stay away. But believe me, she thinks about this. Sue's fingerprint is on everything that happens in this church, whether you realize it or not. Everything that I remember to do is because she reminded me to do it. She puts the reminders. She calls me. She tells me that this email came in. She's just behind everything. Not to mention the fact that she has been just the most incredible person to, you know, for 40-some years now, we've shared this ministry together. It's just as much a part of her heart as it is mine. She's a blessing to me. My children are a blessing. And sometimes you can say, well, your kids haven't turned out the way you wanted them to. Well, just think about it this way. They no longer have to be perfect for you to be happy or thankful. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 7:14, it might just be that you're sanctifying them right now, that you're the means by which they're even in the presence of God, like you're the believer priest that's carrying them into the presence of God. Like you're the guy that's there. And when you don't know how to pray for them, the Holy Spirit takes over in Romans 8:26, and he's finishing that intercession for you. They're right on the heart of God, because you, as a believer, have been the one that's faithfully sealed them with your heart, your love. Doesn't mean that, you know, they may be your prodigal, but they're on your heart, and you're carrying them before God. And God hears those prayers. God, he hears those prayers. So your children are no longer in that category where you have to be able to list all the good things in your life, and they have to be a certain category in order for you to be thankful. Your children are a blessing. They're a great blessing, because God gave them to you, and he saved you so that you could be the one for them. And lastly, grandkids, which, by the way, is the most exciting thing in all the world. The only prayer I ever prayed and asked God in terms of a selfish prayer. I told God I wanted to have my grandkids around. I prayed that he wouldn't let my kids move away, and that we wouldn't be sent off to some foreign country where I wouldn't be able to see them on a consistent basis. Our kids grew up without grandparents around and very rarely saw them. We just didn't have the means or the resources to do it. And I've always felt that I knew how much my grandparents had meant to me as a child, and it was something that was on my heart. And you know, God has answered that prayer for me. I have grandkids. I got buku grandkids. I am just inundated with grandkids. I have to take out a second mortgage every Christmas just to make sure that they get everything they need. I have more grandkids than I ever thought I'd have. And I'm thankful for each one of them. And one of those grandkids is the newest one. And, you know, I was sharing a devotional today. We have this rocking chair. It's called a Kennedy rocker. Now, we got it, I think, for less than $100 on the side of the road in Wakefield, Massachusetts. That was over 40 years ago. It's never been refinished. A little broken. My wife has rocked every one of our children in that chair, and every one of our grandchildren in that chair. Everyone that's ever been a baby was rocked in that chair. I look at that chair, and it reminds me of the fingerprint that she put on each one of those kids. And each one of those kids has been a blessing, and the ability we have to be in their life, that's an incredible blessing. They don't have to be or do anything. They're a blessing to me. I'm thankful to God for all he's done. I'm blessed by what he's given me. And lastly, I have this new one. He's called Lincoln. I got another one on the way, and he's going to be Hyler. And be praying that everything goes well. Named after my grandparents. The Hyler is the name of my mom's parents. But Lincoln and I have this very special thing. What happens when you're kind of stuck at home and you have a little kid around and you want to just show him the world around you is things outside become really interesting. So we would go out and pick flowers and smell them and do all these crazy things. I showed him bugs. I try and get him interested in everything his mother would hate. Spiders, whatever I can do. But then we had this squirrel. And this squirrel became incredibly, I have bird feeders. I go up to the bird feeder, and this squirrel just stares at me. He's like, who are you? It's like, I'm not going to run from you. So I figured that this squirrel was worth investing a little time in. And it would be interesting for my grandson to see this squirrel and to feed him. So we started feeding this squirrel. I call him Bob. We actually have a book now I read every morning to Lincoln. It's all about Bob the squirrel. And Bob comes up to the door now and is expecting to be fed. It's like one of these things. I didn't realize that when you start doing this, it could really easily get out of hand. So now we have like a herd of squirrels. There's Bob and Betty Joe and Billy Bob, and the whole clan has come to our house. My wife has gotten a little frustrated because Bob is beginning to do things that are, well, I'll let you see for yourself. That's a screen door, by the way. Pray. So what happens with these things is you begin to do things that you really probably wouldn't have done at any other point in your life, but it sure is fun with the grandkids. I just didn't realize how far out of control this possibly could get. So be praying, because Bob is actually now looking to get in the house where he knows the peanuts are. And we're trying to make sure that now as a result of that, we're feeding him a little further away from the house. But it is fun. It is fun. So keep us in prayer. We'll see how that goes. But they actually are kind of interesting animals. All right, let's pray. Father, we're thankful. Thankful for all the blessings that you've given us. Thankful that we can be thankful for all the things you've done for us, and then we just look at all the rest of our life and it's just a blessing. Even the problems become a blessing because you're using them in our life to conform us to you. So we're just incredibly blessed, Lord. And we're blessed that you've put us here at this time, in this state, with this government, in this nation, with these issues. You've placed us here. And there's a purpose for this, much as it was for the first church in the first century and in the Roman Empire with all the problems that they had. Lord, you placed the church there in the midst of that. That was the fullness of time. You picked that time. That was the best time. And so, Lord, we look at the opportunity and the possibility. We are thankful for the door that you've opened with the Toys for Tots. We're incredibly thankful for the partnerships that we have here. We pray for the all-night prayer event and all the other many things that are happening. But we're just incredibly grateful and blessed, Lord, in so many facets of our life. And ask for your blessing as we go forward. And we ask these things in Christ's name. And the whole church said, amen. Amen. Thanks, guys.